Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
it is good to beat the stinking Aints. I know it was not aesthetically what you wanted to see, but beating them, and as Mike said today, starting 2-2 is what we predicted. I was hoping we'd go 3-1. We should have. We should have beat the Chiefs last week, but that's neither here nor there. Mike, we have a big problem. Atlanta, we have a big problem. Our offense is the problem. And here's the deal, guys. If it doesn't get fixed, the reality is we're not going to the playoffs. I want to be clear about this. If it doesn't get fixed, we're not going to the playoffs. We can't score touchdowns, Mike Bell. We cannot consistently score touchdowns. And you and I have been saying this for how long now on this show?
4 years?
Four years.
Look, it's what it is. We said all summer long, you know, if we get things going, we should look a little bit like the Rams, because you bring a guy in with a philosophy that he's not going to completely go off the script from what he just worked with. But Zach Robinson's offense doesn't look like the Rams. Now, we've said Kirk Cousins isn't 100%, and once he gets there, we'll be flying. But there's just things about this offense that just don't make a lot of sense. Now, some of the things are beyond the OC's control, Carl. When you're having, you know, Kirk Cousins throw to a spot on the ground and the receiver falls down, you know, that's another empty possession. We've also had penalties. The penalties were insane. They just killed us. But the refs are ticky-tack as hell, but you still got to deal with it. It's part of the NFL. If we ever do straighten out the offense, we may get 2 playoff games at home this year.
It's possible. It's likely, but it's got to get fixed. We can't ignore it anymore. We're 4 games into the season, and our football team has scored. Hold on, let me count. 1, 2, 2 touchdowns. It's not enough.
We need to score more points.
Thank you, Art. It's not enough. Now, on top of this, okay, the fact that we beat the Saints yesterday, we get special teams touchdown, we get a pick 6. It's great. On top of this, Mike, for me, I have been saying Oren and Turtle all offseason, the most important piece of this offense is Kyle Pitts. Guys, how many catches did he have yesterday?
That'd be 0.
I'm sorry?
0 on 3 targets.
Oh, wait a minute. He had a touchdown, didn't he?
No, he did not.
Let me hear Coach Raheem Morris answer this question about why Kyle Pitts had 0 catches yesterday.
You know, it was just about going out there and winning a game when you're out there and you're playing. You know, he had a couple targets today, had a couple things going out that way. You know, we believe we got a questionable call at the end of the stretch again to Kyle. And, you know, those things are always unfortunate. But, you know, really for me, man, that's for losers, man. I don't get involved in that stuff. But you go out there, you try to win each game, and we were able to win it today.
You won the game, but stats are not for losers until you need to use stats to clarify your argument. I completely disagree with this, Mike. Rob, when are you going to get the stars that are involved in this offense, including Kyle Pitts?
Right.
When?
I'm with you. I mean, you could trade Pitts and go get another edge rusher. I mean, there's a lot of things. Let somebody else figure him out if we can't figure out how to use this guy. It's not his fault. We've covered this guy as he was drafted 4th overall. But you're drafted 4th overall, you've got to be an impact player. 8 receptions for 105 yards and 1 touchdown is the numbers he should have in one game to validate where he was selected. That's his numbers through 4 games. So it makes no sense. I was worried about how Zach Robinson was going to approach him, and is he going to use him? Just, is he going to be Tony Gonzalez? Why can't he run the stuff that Ray McLeod runs? I mean, he's supposed to be this tremendous athlete, a unicorn, we were told. You just don't know how your new OC is going to work with him, and they've got to find some traction. Because part of the reason, Carl, to your point, we're not scoring points is you're not utilizing all the tools in the toolbox.
You need this.
And that's not being a dork. That's not being a fantasy football owner. A blind man can see. For this offense to work, Pitts has to be a bigger part of it.
Yes. Now, winning the game is all that matters. And I say that every week. Half point, 2 points, whatever it is. We won the football game. But we cannot ignore what is going on with our football team. We're not going to get to the ultimate goal, guys. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. So, Pitts, 0 balls yesterday. And I hear Coach Ra, I'm not, you know, stat guy. You're not a stat guy until you want to tell us. Come on. You're not a stat guy until you want to tell us statistically how good the team is down the road. If you're not going to use them now, don't use them. I love guys who say, I'm not a stat guy, and then they use the stats to clarify their argument. It's crap. We need him involved in this offense. We need more stars involved in this offense. He is the biggest one that is not involved. Mike, on top of that, third downs weren't great yesterday. 4 of 11 for third down.
Yeah, we were 36%. Yeah, it's not great.
But what are we doing on third?
I know. Everything we've talked about continues. Now, look, because it's the NFL, and you never know where you're going to get your points from. Thank you very much. Rasheed with the big whoop. And we'll take that flub, and we'll take the 6 off of that. And then, you know, one thing that I tell Carl, we were talking about during the game and this morning, I don't like the way they're using Matthew Judon. I was having those flashbacks of the, remember guys when Vic Beasley would drop back into coverage, and now you basically have 10 guys on defense? So now you've taken one of our, you know, again, a top 10 edge rusher, Matthew Judon, we can all agree, and now you're taking him out of the edge rush. You're taking him out of the pass rush, and now he's covering a quadrant of the field which is not being thrown to. And to me, it drove me crazy. And then conversely, when you get him going forward, what does he do? Carr tries to sneak one by with a sidearm throw. Judon gets his mitt on it. Boom. Next thing you know, Troy Anderson's off to the races. So can we stop with this and let's use Judon to do the job he was brought here to do, which is get the pressure on the quarterback.
404-726-0929. Follow us, guys. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. And, of course, this radio station is 929 The Game. Yesterday, again, aesthetically not what you want, but I'll take the dub. But these things, including, by the way, in a short week, Mike, you got to clean some of this stuff up before you roll out there on Thursday night. Bucks are playing really good football. And so to get a division win, huge. But within this win, we have fundamental issues that we've got to continue to deal with. And whether Kirk Cousins wants to admit it or not, Mike, stop turning the ball over, Kirk.
Yeah, I know that the Ray play where Ray slides, and again, I still felt that. I know Cousins is he's drawing to a spot, but there's no way to slap the brakes on that throw. I mean, he's coming out of the break. I know the ball's coming out, but geez, Louise, I mean that was what it was. He threw it low, and it was a pick, and they made a nice athletic play. The other thing is, I guess Bijan, and we didn't know how much he showed up on the injury report on Wednesday, and you and I kind of both raised our eyebrows on that. Bijan was obviously more banged up than we knew from week three. So he was not really a factor, only 11 touches for Bijan. And so, hey, guess what? Algier was getting traction. Run the ball. Establish the run. The Eagles were running right after the Saints. I thought we were going to do a little bit more of that.
I did too. And by the way, he was running powerful. I mean, he was running.
Finishing runs.
Yeah, through guys, over guys. I thought Algier had a really good day. Falcons beat the Saints in a walk-off, 26-24. Obviously, Younghoe Koo, the hero. I mean, here's our issue. And if some of you are going, wait a minute, guys, didn't we just beat the Saints? Why are you and Mike going in? Here's the reason why. And I'm banging my pen.
Mm-hmm.
Because 4 years ago, literally, when we had an amazing kicker named Matt Bryant, maybe you remember him. Mike and I had a little phrase. We'd cross half 50-yard line.
All right, get Brian in there, kick it.
And we'd say, kick it.
Let's go.
Because we knew the offense was inept and not able to do anything. I thought this was going to feel and look different. And I'm looking around the league. You guys seen the Commanders? I'm looking around the league, right, and I'm going, why are some of these teams offensively more fluid than we are? Aesthetically more pleasing than we are? Their stars are more involved than our stars. We won the game, Mike, but I'm not pleased with a lot of the things that are going on with our team 4 weeks in.
Now, we said this all week, and we said this last week. You know, we are a team that looks like they can hang. Because here's the thing. We have not even come close to playing our best game, and we're 2-2. And very easily could have been 3-1 had the refs done their job. So the good news is we're still again, I hate to say this, for three weeks in a row we're this close. But we are close. You see it. But we've got to be able to execute. Zach Robb, I would like to think they're stripping that playbook down and reevaluating how they're approaching things.
Is Pitts involved?
I don't know. I mean, that's why I said to you back in August, I don't know how Zach Robinson feels about him. He doesn't know what our fans feel about a guy who's a fourth overall pick. He's just another piece, I guess, on the board. I don't get it. I think you got this weapon that should be utilized. He's supposed to be able to create mismatches. You know, I just don't understand what we're doing here. And then Cousins still has to be better. And I appreciate his candor in saying, I've got it. Yes, you do. Don't have to look too far. Kirk Cousins has got to be a lot better than he is right now.
Jimmy Dean hits us up. He says, put him up. See Dukes. He says, y'all make Pitts out to be a star. He was never that.
Well, then talk to the – then guess what? Then that's on Fontenot. Because there are a lot of folks in this league who looked at the Falcons at the fourth overall pick. You could have gone A, Justin Fields, B, Penei Sewell. Nobody had Micah. Like, you can't say Micah Parsons at four because nobody had him on the radar in the top five.
No.
That was one that you do when you're when Mel Kiper goes, if we redraft today, no blank Sherlock, Micah Parsons probably goes number one. But it was really down to Justin Fields. I mean, you could have had Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, there are other options there. I mean, I'm just telling you, they went with. This guy is not the guy, okay? Let's just call it what it is. Pitts right now is a bust. By any metric, Pitts is a bust. And I hope they fix it. Otherwise, you start to look at this guy and say, maybe somebody else can do something with him, get him off the books.
And the reason why we're talking about this, he had zero catches yesterday. Zero balls, okay? And for me, this is where I'm at, Mike. Either he's not that good or Kirk Cousins or Zach Robinson don't like him. And I think Kirk Cousins likes everybody.
Now, the other thing is, do you feel, and this is the big picture, and again, fans, some fans, the good news is, Carl said it, we don't apologize for a win, we're just getting frustrated with our offense looks so anemic. Are we going to be able to do it on a short turnaround? That's the thing. Are you telling me this offense is all of a sudden going to click in just 3 days?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll have some magical pixie dust in the locker room over the next couple of days that they'll sprinkle on top of some of these guys. We won the game. You found a way to get it done. Do I think the refs jobbed us yesterday? Yes. We'll talk about it. But we got to fix these problems. And it is a problem that is not now a week one issue. Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mm-hmm. So there's some plays out there where I come to the sideline and say, hey, Kyle, you know, I got to work you there. And then there's other ones where I did work him and I say, hey, you know, I probably shouldn't have forced it to you. So it goes both ways. But you just kind of always go where your reads take you. And sometimes it skews the numbers one way or another. And sometimes it's really balanced. And you just kind of have to go where they take you.
I feel you on that. But I also think this is where the coordinator comes in and says, oh, I don't know, we got Jerry Rice out here. We're going to find a way to get Jerry Rice the ball. Maybe it's we have, oh, I don't know, Walter Payton in the backfield, and we're going to find a way to get Payton the ball. Mike, I hear Kirk Cousins, and he's right. If he's not open, that's one thing. But this is the creativity of, hey, coach, we need to get Aiden involved. How do you want to do that? It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're coming off of a big win. Hi, Saints fans. Hi. How you guys doing today? Did y'all make it back to New Orleans last night?
Yeah, man. It was fun. And by the way, now
I loved it.
We had no problem with our Saints fans in our section. Two sections over. Oof. It got ugly. I was just telling Carl real quick. Guys, when you won the fight and the man's down, you don't need to start basically putting two hands on the seats and going up and down with your feet on the guy's face.
Oh, come on.
It just got real ugly up there. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. A street fight's a street fight, but when you're in the stands and you got leverage and you got the high ground and a guy's down, just let it go. I thought some Falcons fans made some real horses' asses out of themselves in that fight. You seen the video. It's Orin, you know what I'm talking about. Fight's over, man. Remember the rules?
A couple of them, yeah.
Come on.
Jumping off yesterday, like, guy was down on the ground, and then I guess that wasn't enough just for him to be down on the ground. Yeah. Had to get a couple stomps in him, too, so.
Yeah, I've never thought that was acceptable in any stretch. But that aside, we everything else was cool. Hunky-dory in our section was cool. Everybody's getting along.
Mike, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just mature. I'm not fighting in a football game. Unless you threw a beer in my wife's face,
right,
or you slap my kid, okay? And usually that's not the case. Usually it's just we're popping off, and then you get mad at something I said or vice versa. Like, I've never understood that, but you say it all the time. Add the alcohol element, it goes to another level.
Again, instant blank hole, you know, and that's where it went. So, again, we got to be better than that, guys. It's not cool, especially kids don't need to be seeing that at a football game, y'all. Come on, you better. Some of you aren't better than that, but I would like to think you're better than that. But, yeah, that aside, great vibe and got down, you know, we made it down about an hour before, and it was electric. We always have the most juice with the Saints and the Falcons. And, guys, both folks are hitting us up on the text line, you and Carl being too negative. No, we just want to win. I'm not talking about style points. A win is a win is a win. And over the course of the 17 weeks, there'll be games maybe you shouldn't have won, maybe games you should have won. I think Kansas City falls in that case. Maybe the Eagles falls in the other case.
But here's the deal. Kansas City is 4-0.
Correct.
We're not.
We're 2-2. And now, guys, huge test coming up on Thursday. You realize they sacked Jalen Hurts six times down in Tampa.
Six times.
And we have, a more stationary target in one Kirk Cousins. So we really got to have a hell of a game plan. The ball's got to be coming out quick. We really need to establish the run. Go right after Vita Vea and company. I mean, Levante David was a one-man gang yesterday down in Tampa.
He was. And it's not about being negative. I guarantee you, privately, if you ask any of these guys about yesterday, it felt good to win and get off the field. They were not happy offensively with their performance. They just weren't. They know. And if I said that doesn't change, we're not going to get to where we need to be. Guys, we got to start scoring touchdowns more consistently. Right. We've got to be better on third down. You guys realize we're 10 for 38 on the season? That's 4 weeks in. 10 conversions on third down? That's a game for many teams in the National Football League. 10 for 38? That's not going to get it done. So, yes, we won the game, but it doesn't mean there are fundamental things that don't need to be corrected. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com this season, guys. That's mancavestore.com.
One of the things that gets us back into the pits of the conversation and everything else we're talking about is you don't have enough snaps because you've had so many three and outs, or in this case, it was another one of those Cousins turnovers where, guys, we were it's 11 minutes time of possession after what it was 9 minutes for the Chiefs last week that was the difference. So we're just not getting the possessions. We're not getting the offensive plays. We had a total of 51 plays. The Saints had 70. So that's nearly 20 more plays. So this is where we've got to be able to establish these drives. We've just unfortunately petered out. That's why, guys, great to have Koo. Koo, they know where his range is. And yesterday he has his career long. And it was, I mean, look, making a 58-yarder, even though indoors, Carl, that's no guarantee that it should have come down to that. I disagree.
Yeah.
I also didn't like them with three timeouts sitting on it with 30 seconds. They had decent field position about the 30-yard line, and they just went into a shell. They ran the ball, got a first down, didn't burn any clock. Look, I'm not saying shoot yourself in the foot, but, I mean, can't you, since you're leaning on Koo, let's make two more throws and try to get a big long field goal.
I agree. Get down the field.
That was before halftime.
Yeah, let's make a play. It was almost like, we're going to be conservative. Why? 404-726-0929. Jimmy, I just answered him talking about Pitts being a star, and here's the deal. We're not blaming anything on anybody. Listen, everybody across the board needs to be better. Penalties killed us yesterday. I thought the refs were terrible, absolutely terrible. But with that said, I need to be a difference maker. I don't need to be a star. You can be a difference maker in this league and not be a star, Mike. You can show up in this league and not have the star moniker next to your name. There are tons of guys that show up every week. Guys, Ladd McConkey had a touchdown yesterday. He's being a difference maker for the Chargers. They lost the game, but so is, while we're talking about tight ends, Brock Bowers. He's being a difference maker for the Raiders. I think he's going to be a star once he gets a delivery system consistently right there. But that's what we're talking about. So it's not just, you know, I'm not banging on Pitts, but we can't have these big games, these big division games and these big moments, and that dude has zero catches. How?
So it's a guy hit me up earlier, and we said it, guys. Guys, he was the fourth player taken in the draft. That's an expectation level. You've got to be the unicorn. You've got to be the Tony Gonzalez or the Kelsey or the Kittle. And he's not even close, you know? So that's where we're at. But again, a win is a win. And yes, we are super happy about that. You cannot, though, and for the short turnaround, think that we're not, again, you're going to have to score some points. We're going to have to be very dynamic in this offense to keep Kirk Cousins from getting clobbered. Because the Bucs are coming, and we really need to run that ball, man. Whether it's more Algier because of Bijan's a little dinged up.
And I'm okay with that. I could come in here and blow smoke up your butt and tell you that we're great on third down, that Pitts is the best tight end in the league, and that Kirk Cousins doesn't make mistakes, and we need to run the ball more effectively, and we are the best red zone team in the league. None of that is true. Or I could come in here and tell you that I'm very happy about the win, which we are because we hate the Aints, and tell you what we need to get better at so that we can have this conversation in a few weeks and say, you know what? Look at how damn good our team looks.
I mean, we expected – I mean, you and I, we went round and round, 3-1, 2. Look, the Chiefs game is what it is. We've had all these games where we're close. This is the first – I mean, really win. This is one of the uglier wins. I think the stat was last time we didn't score a touchdown off on offense and one, it was Mike Vick. And that was, I mean, 2004 in a game we won 6-3, but we've certainly seen what we thought this team was going to look like, all the projections, everybody figured, oh man, it's going to be so dynamic. When does that click? When does that start to happen? The good news is, as Zach Robinson and everybody else is figuring it out, and Kirk Cousins, Carl, gets to be 100% Kirk Cousins, you found a way to be 500. I'll take it, but this has got to be better. That's all we're saying here on the program. It's just got to be better.
All right, Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer. Of course, Turtle is executive producing. It is a Falcon Monday and a Falcon Victory Monday as we talk about beating the Saints, and it always feels good. I mean, yesterday it was like, I'll be honest with you, 58 yards? I'm like, I love Cool, but I don't know. And he hits right. That damn, and I'm like, this is nothing. Like, he made that look really easy. Koo is a dog, man, and we have the best kicker in the NFL, I think, right now. There's a bunch of guys, Justin Tucker. Mm-hmm. There's periods where you go through and you are the best kicker. Right now, it's Koo. It's not, for me, it's not even close. All right, with that said, let's hit some headlines. Mike was just talking about Algier. Let me hear what Kirk Cousins had to say about how he ran the football yesterday.
Tyler Allgeier ran the football really well today, and his third down conversion was a big play in the game. I was pleased that we were better on third down. At least it felt that way. I haven't seen the numbers, but felt like we were better on third down overall as a unit. Even on some of the conversions that we didn't have, we still, you know, completion, getting close to the sticks and giving ourselves a chance.
7.5 yards per tote for Tyler Allgeier. As we said, only 11 touches for Bijan as far as 7 carries and 4 targets. So Bijan, you know,
let him eat, man.
A little banged up. So yeah, keep feeding Allgeier, because you said it. He really was punishing and finishing his runs. Kind of reminded you of a couple years back.
Well, and you know what happens, Mike, in those situations, the guys on the other side start to go, I don't know if I want to stick my head in there, because this dude is coming at me and he is about to try to run me over. He's not a finesse guy. And that's what I loved about him at BYU when we selected him. But I thought the balance, whether it is because of the injury update on Bijan or not, I thought the balance was better. This is kind of what I want to see. But it was like the third quarter, or I guess the early fourth quarter, was his. Spread that out.
And look, we know for certain, guys, on days when Bijan, over the course of 17 weeks, not everybody's going to be 100%. But Allgeier has been a 1,000-yard rusher for this team.
Yeah.
So I think you have confidence, at least Zach should, to know this guy can certainly get the job done. Always seems to fall forward for positive yardage. On the flip side, you and I talked about it all week. That Taysom Hill. I mean, it just, you know, everybody in the freaking building knows what's going on when he's in that backfield, except for apparently the Falcons defense.
Yeah, he's going to run it. And again, my thing with him is, can't be scared, Mike. You got to stick your head in there. You got to tackle this guy. And he's just, again, running through people. And I don't wish injury upon anybody. I don't ever do that. I want to see the best players on the field. But when he got injured, it helped us.
Big time.
It just did. So we had no answers, and him going down, especially in those short yardage situations. While we're talking about the Falcons, let me hear Young Wei Koo talking about it, making that field goal.
Once we got to the 40, I knew I had a chance, so I was just, you know, locked in, ready to go.
Yeah, nice and sweet. Thanks, Koo. Appreciate you, Koo. Next question.
He's very direct, just like his kicks.
Yeah, we got to the 40. I was good, dog. What's up? Next question. He was great. And, again, we're living on his leg. Can we be honest? These first 4 weeks, it's what it's been. We cannot consistently punch it in the end zone. Hey, we're going to talk about Kirby Smart and the Dogs. Do not worry. We've got a lot of that on the way. Connor Riley's going to join us from Dog Nation coming up at 4 o'clock. Also, we are aware Braves are playing a game that could get them into the playoffs. And they are currently winning 2-0 as we speak. We will keep you updated throughout the course of the afternoon. Stay right here. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and a Falcon victory Monday. Not so much for the Georgia Bulldogs. We'll be talking more about that coming up. It was an epic game. It was unbelievable. I think dog fans, you were down in the dumps and you couldn't believe the comeback and then actually take the lead. But unfortunately, too much time. We'll get into that whole weekend, and there's some amazing storylines in college football. But right now, I'm talking about the Falcons. We're here with D. Alford, had to say, along with Coach. And a lot of guys hit us up, Carl, on the text line, saying that, yeah, there's some things which certainly, you know, got to improve. Did you feel that we would be in perfect sync with Kirk Cousins because of the nature of the Achilles? And did you feel maybe at probably week 5, okay, this is that now, okay, everything kind of falls into place? Don't know. I know it's a short and this is the toughest thing of all in the NFL, Carl, the Thursday night game for a team to get ready.
Yeah, it's tough turnaround, man. I mean, physically, you're a little banged up. But again, nobody's crying because the league is making a lot of money. I said it. Then you talk about from an execution standpoint, you're going from one game plan to another, right? I mean, literally, you spent a lot of time on getting ready for the Saints. And now you've got, you know, just a few days. Now, they've installed some things that they will have for the Buccaneers. But I just feel like the Bucs right now, Mike, where we're at in the season, it doesn't mean later in the year that this will change or won't change. They're playing really good football. And specifically, their offense is going to be something to deal with here on Thursday night. The good news for us is, man, if you ask me what I feel best about right now, it's our defense. Our defense continues to get off the field. They give our offense chances to score points or at least have a chance to do something with the ball. And our offense continues to just kind of flutter. And that is the word that I continue to use. It's not that we're not doing some good things, but we're fluttering across the board with this offense right now.
Now, last year, guys, a couple of guys pointing out through 4 weeks, the Falcons were 2-2 last year. Of course, we started off with a win against Carolina. We had that nice win against Jordan Love and the Packers. And then we lost to Detroit. They just ran all over us. Remember that? We missed some opportunities. It was one of the first indications Pitts wasn't 100% in that game. And then we went over to London, and we blew it. Ritter was horrible with some picks, and Jacksonville beat us. So it was a different kind of 2-2. Here we're coming off a Chiefs game that you felt you should have won, and then a game that maybe, hey, the football gods gave us one with a dumb special team screw-up on the Saints part. Whatever. We're 2-2. Probably where we should be right now based on what we've done.
You talk about the game, though, with the Chiefs. We felt like we should have won, but offensively was the reason why we didn't win. Like, when we needed it and we needed the offense to do something, we weren't able to do it. And that continues to be the bugaboo. But here's the thing about last year. Please don't compare anything to last year.
Correct.
You've got a 13-year guy behind center versus a kid who didn't know whether he was coming or going. Let's not compare anything to last year. Zero.
But I will say this. You had an offensive coordinator, whether we love him or hate him, in Arthur Smith, calling the shots, who had a decade of experience in pro football. And we've got a guy in his first four games as an offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson. So I'm not bagging on him because, again, we don't know what everybody who didn't do his responsibility, who didn't pick up this or that. But one thing for certain, it's still, I think we can all agree, Carl, it's a work in progress as Zach Robinson is feeling his way with this team.
No, it is. But I also think a veteran quarterback supplements that for you.
Should.
That's the difference. It's not a guy who doesn't know and is trying to learn versus a guy who's been around all of these different systems and says, hey, Zach, this is what we should try to do. Hey, I'm going to try to call this play. This is the play I'm going to audible to. That's the filler, Mike, that should be there with a guy who has Kirk Cousins' experience. That's why I'm not willing to compare the two, whether it's 2-2 last year. 2-2 last year did feel different, but I can't say anything about what we had behind center. This should feel better. And I don't know if it does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I still don't know what a Zach Robinson offense is supposed to look like. I know what this is not anything we signed on for with our expectation level and how it's going to be running smoothly under Kirk Cousins. But Kirk, look, we can all agree now after 4 weeks, you're on the field, you're starting, you're expected to make plays, Kirk Cousins, and he says it every week. And hopefully he's going to be better, but he's got to be better, Carl. He's made some awful throws. Now, do you give him any pass on that Ray slip?
Well, after hearing or at least seeing it, after the fact, okay, in the moment, it's hard. And by the way, this is the other part. Sometimes in the stadium, it's hard to see things, and we don't get the right replays that you guys.
I watched it again this morning.
Yes, so that's why when we talk about it, you have to watch it. It's hard. In the moment, I'm like, what happened? Then you see it back, and you're like, okay, I saw Ray slip. I get it. He thought he was going to be there. He throws it. Mm. But I just, you know, I didn't expect, Mike, we talk about the things we didn't expect. Did I expect to beat the Saints? Yes. But I didn't expect going into week five that Kirk Cousins would only have four touchdowns and four interceptions. And I say only, that's a lot. That's more than what I expected. I was thinking somewhere along the lines of, I don't know, with this offense, seven touchdowns, maybe two picks.
Yeah.
And that's part of this. But, yeah, that one was you give him a little leeway on that because, again, he's trying to hit him in a spot. But some of these other interceptions, that there's no excuse where he's thrown it to other guys. 404-726-0929. Mike mentioned it. We want you to hear what guys are saying, and including Coach and D. Alford. And part of this is – after the game, you know, when you're amped up, as everybody was, and it felt good to beat the Saints because we just don't like them. We owed them, and again, to beat them on a walk-off feels kind of even better. The fact that, you know, they felt like they might have a chance after they scored, and then we go right back down and kick the field goal. But here was Coach after the game with our buddy Dave Archer.
Raheem, you talk about team wins. You talk about a group of three phases of the game coming together and believing and winning. Boy, I don't know if you can find one that's got a better definition than that.
I tell you what, it was more than just three today. That crew out there, the fan base, the way that place was rocking, that was definitely a part of it, and they definitely the fourth phase today. And I couldn't be more thankful for those guys coming out and showing that kind of support. And the team, man, they put it all together. They relied on each other. They played complimentary football. What a day. What a day.
Tell me about entities that you don't expect to score in. You want to. You play hard. If you're in position, you make the play. Kadarryl Hodge ends up with the recovery on the punt team. The coverage. Talk about that unit.
You know, Marquise, you know, you say is an entity that you don't expect to score in, but that's one of his main goals. That's what he wants to do, mean but clean. And those guys went out there, and they were exemplary tonight. All right to the last whistle, right to we ended it with coup. They scored a couple points today for us, and you need that. You need that. When you're struggling a little bit on offense or you're struggling a little bit on defense, you need somebody to pick you up, and special teams did.
I know they got a little bit of footing in the run game, and I know you're going to continue to work on that, but Troy Anderson was a monster today. Had one of his best games as an NFL player. 16 tackles, had the interception turn for a touchdown.
Absolutely outstanding. Down the stretch is what's most important, and those guys bowed up when it counted the most at the end, and they were able to go some critical stops for us. They got too much rushing yards in the first half, but, man, they put it behind them. They came out. They bowed out. We got a couple major stops there, and we were doing well.
You talk about bowing up now. That offensive line really bowed up in the second half. Bijan ran the ball extremely well. But when Tyler Allgeier came in the game, it was like a different tempo you guys were playing with.
You know, he's the fat back that we call him, and he was able to go out there and get us some yards, man. He runs the ball hard as you can run, and he was the hot guy today, and he got out there and got it done for us.
All right, what do you say about your guy, Younghoe Koo? Did you have a number in mind as to where the ball needed to get to for him to be able to knock it through?
It didn't matter. We were going to end it with Koo, no matter where we were. It didn't matter. And Kuhn went out there and delivered just like I thought he would. That thing was good for a lot further than what he kicked it for the 56.
All right, last thing for you, Raheem. A quick turnaround. Now you got another divisional opponent coming in here in just a few days. How big one was this, and how much do you have to quickly flush it out of your mind?
You know, you quickly go through the process, the same thing as every week. You know, wins, losses, whatever the case may be. You got to put it back on the shelf and go right into the lab and get ready for a tough Tampa team coming in.
Thank you, man.
All right, man.
You know what's interesting is Raw told Mike and I when we were up there last week, and by the way, we won't be because of practice times and whatnot this week. Andy and Randy will actually be up there on Wednesday, the day before the game, so make sure you check that out. We'll replay that interview for you as they'll be up there because of scheduling issues, but we'll be up there the rest of the year. But he told us, Mike, you know, we were talking about New Orleans, and he was like, they have good special teams, and they always change games with the special teams. And we did that. It felt good to be on the other side of that, not having a kick blocked or, you know, again, fumbling in the end zone. So from that perspective, it's kind of interesting because he was like, we've got to do a better job of that, and I'll be damned we did.
This is one I did not expect. You know, we saw the screw-up. And you got, like, how many times have we made flubs in special teams over the years? It's I know we use the phrase, and it sounds cliched, Carl, the NFL gods or football karma. It's weird how we got to 2-2. Certainly not how we expected at all. You know, the Pitts mugging in the end zone, the no call, only to have a guy. I mean, by the way, that's the dumbest special team screw-up I've seen by any team in the last 5 or 6 years in the NFL. Just let the ball go in the end zone.
It was. Yeah, just a judgment call there. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we are letting you get a feel for what was going on after the game. And Dee Alford, who played really well yesterday as well. Falcons win on a walk-off 26-24. Younghoe Koo, obviously, getting it done for us. But here is Dee Alford with Dave Archer.
Dee, another strong game by you guys in the back end. And this was going to be a real test. They had a lot of great speed and a lot of things that were going to contest against you guys. But tell me about the overall defensive play and how you guys felt like you got done.
Oh, man, just going into this game, the mindset, you know, to be physical, man, and play fast and obviously play free. So we was able to go out, you know, fly around. We got a lot of DBs who like, you know, get their head ends on tackles, stuff like that. So that's just the overall motto, just play fast, play free and physical, man. I think we did a great job of that in the back end.
I had some notes written down for the game. Talked to Raheem about, and certainly tomorrow for his coach's show, but I was talking to him about the little guys making plays. Mm-hmm. And the little guys had a series there. You had A.J. came up, made the big hit along the sideline. You came on the blitz on that offside and got Carr on the ground. And, of course, Mike Hughes made a play, big play as well. Tell me about the pride you guys have. You guys aren't the biggest dudes in the world, but playing physical.
Man, just playing big. Like, that's the whole thing, just playing bigger than what you are, man. You know, like you said, we're a little smaller guys, but just the mindset that we have, man, we play big. And it showed on the game. So, yeah, like you said, on that play, I was able to, you know, make a move and get in on the tackle, man. Little things like that, I try to, you know, separate myself from, a lot of other smaller guys in the league. But, yeah, man, those, you know, all the DB group we got, man, we pretty physical, and it feel good to be able to show it on Sunday. So
Jimmy doesn't dial up a lot of blitzes for you guys, but mm-hmm. you guys have been pretty successful when you come. Tell me about the technique there in the nickel spot, trying to disguise it so Carr can't see it so he can mm-hmm. throw a side adjustment. Talk me through that.
I think I made an adjustment early on in the game. I know, you know, a lot of guys watch film around the league. They'll see that I play off a lot. So I try to switch it up so you never know if I'm pressing, am I blitzing, or I'm pressing to play man. So I try to, you know, add that to my bag and, like, switch it up. And I was able to disguise it, don't show the blitz, and he didn't look my way. I came free, so I made a play.
Yeah, you made mm-hmm. that play. And you also made a play in the back corner of the end zone in that mm-hmm. fourth down play. Tell me about that play.
Oh, man, that was a got-to-have-it situation. We was, zero man. So it's one-on-one. You got to win your matchup. I was able, you know, pre-snap, I was talking to Mike Hughes. I noticed the split was wide, so I knew my guy was going to run the corner, his guy was going to run the post. At first, I wanted to work it out and pass it off to him, but we kind of like said, nah, man, just lock it. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was coming, so I was anticipating the corner route. I'm able, you know, to get the right angle and make a play on the ball.
See, there's that communication on the field. That's what you're talking about. You guys talking to each other in the back end. All right, last thing for you. Quick week now. Mm-hmm. You got another divisional opponent coming in on Thursday. Mm-hmm. What does the mindset have to be when you come to work tomorrow?
Oh, man, we already in recovery mode right now. So we got guys iced up. Whatever you got to do, we are in the mindset to, you know, get ahead of the short week so we can come out, you know, come back in here in front of the fans and, you know, get that dub. So
D off for just making plays. Thanks, bro.
Thank you. Thank you.
Man, we already forgot about the Saints. We over this already.
Ice up, son. Hey, man, love it. And, you know, we talked about the defense and certainly the secondary did a nice job. I thought Mike Hughes had a big day, a couple of big tackles.
Mike, he's playing well.
Really is. For a guy that, you know, I know all summer long, Carl and I were like, I don't know about this corner room, man. All these free agent corners are out there. Now, we do go get the best safety tandem in the league, and that's great. And those guys doing a hell of a job as always. But I just thought that, you know, we really need a little more oomph on the edge rush. Maybe that'll come We picked up Rashawn Evans, by the way. For guys who missed it at the start of the show,
yeah.
He was with us in 22, and then he was with the Cowboys, with the Eagles. Anyway, he's back with the Falcons. I don't know what that bodes for Troy Anderson coming off arguably one of his best days as a Falcon. But Rashawn Evans, the former Alabama linebacker, has re-signed with the Falcons.
Here's what's funny about the Troy Anderson performance yesterday. Early in this game, I thought he was taking bad angles. I thought he was, like, missing tackles. And all of a sudden, you look up and you realize this dude had 16 tackles with a go-ahead, you know, touchdown, or at least a pick six. And it's just crazy to think how well he played after what it looked like was a terrible start. Part of that is what Raheem was talking about. Guys, they broke us off 431 yards rushing yesterday. A lot of that came in the first half where we weren't stopping anybody.
It seemed like Kamara was kind of running with impunity, and then we already talked about, you know, our old nemesis, Taysom Hill, doing his thing. You know, he had one was 7 yards to the touchdown, two touchdowns. He's a red zone demon for the Saints against us. But, yeah, Kamara, 19 carries. They tried to establish it, and then we kind of got a handle on it in the second half. Kind of like how Georgia got a handle on Milrow in the second half, you know, kind of keeping him from doing some of the things he was doing in the first half in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Mike, I'm with you. Troy Anderson, by the way, listed as day-to-day. That's from Raheem today. He said, quote, he's hurting pretty good, which, I mean, got to put that in context. He's hurting bad, which means this is why they went out and got Rashawn Evans.
Good news, Braves are up 3-0. Bad news, it's raining at Truist. I hope that doesn't give the Mets some momentum. But Laureano with a solo shot, Ozzie with a two-run homer. Schwellenbach has been money all day today.
Yeah, did they get five in already?
Yep, that's a big 10-4.
I'm all right. MLB will be all right. All right, coming back, we got to talk about the screw job that went down yesterday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And we will next on Dukes and Bell.